Cape Talk. Inspiration Wednesdays.
Quite appropriate to read that phrase about asking for help being one of the bravest things you can do, because my guest in studio today is a person who has been asked and asked and asked for help for 14 years now at the Saartjie Baartman Centre. Of course, we're well into the 16 days of activism on gender violence, and we've reached almost the end of a year which has seen more than 60 children murdered in this province alone, countless incidents of public and domestic violence hitting the headlines, countless more never even making the papers. We know that that is the reality. And in the midst of those stats, the Saartjie Baartman Centre has stood for many years now as a beacon of hope and a place of sanctuary for women and children trying to escape abuse. They've been operating for over 18 years, over 200,000 women helped during that time, and not just cases of domestic violence, they have helped transgender people, they've helped trafficked women, they've assisted refugees. And we wanted to take a moment to pause and reflect on those last 14 or 18 years, because with me in studio is the soon-to-be former centre manager, Shahima McLeod. She's been there 14 years, will be moving on in just a couple of weeks' time, and I didn't want to let her go without the opportunity to look back, because so often we've called on you, Shahima, to talk to us about issues around domestic violence and about everything that goes with that conversation. I'd like to have a conversation with you today about your story within this picture. So thanks for popping in.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm interested to know how you got into this field in the first place.
Strangely enough, my background is in marketing management. And I went into the Saartjie Baartman Centre to do a feasibility study around women's rights and economic empowerment. And the long and short of it, I never left. I absolutely loved that 3-month stint with them. And when I was offered a position, I just grabbed it with both hands and, you know, used it as an opportunity to learn about gender-based violence and what is necessary to change in the sector to improve the conditions of and the safety of women and children in South Africa.
Now, it's obviously a multifaceted conversation and a difficult problem that requires change at many different levels. Before we talk about where we are now, let's talk about what's changed. In the 14 years you've been there, obviously you've worked in different elements, you've worn different hats within the centre, you've had to oversee very difficult financial times where funding has dried up. What have you seen, what if you look back on the past 14 years, what has changed most notably at the centre?
I would like to think the fact that there's a more willingness to work in cooperation between the government sector and the NGO sector.
That's good.
You know, let's just face it, you know, if we work in isolation, we're not going to achieve anything. So that has definitely been a move in the right direction. But having said that, the problem that sits with it, you have an amazing group of people with this real, you know, this will and or willingness to champion the work, but there isn't the financial backing to support those initiatives and to ensure that we make a real meaningful impact in what is happening in our communities.
Okay. Now, it requires cooperation from more than just the NGOs and the government. It requires input, obviously, from our criminal justice system, from police, for example. I was distressed as we came to air today to read the story of the charges being withdrawn against the Idol South Africa runner-up who'd been accused of violently assaulting a young woman. And she's published a series of tweets that say so much, I think, about how so many victims of violence are feeling, saying we are told to speak out and call the police, but it does not help. Once we do that, we are labeled as liars and attention seekers, which only gives these men who abuse us power to continue doing so. She goes on to say, I'm crying for every woman who has been in my situation because this will carry on. They'll be given chances to do it over and over again. We never receive justice until we are dead. Yeah. Is that a fair reflection of the reality on the ground?
She has got it absolutely 150% correct. You know, we do on a daily basis, we encourage women to step forward and to report these matters. But because the information and the training is pitched at your high-ranking officials, it does not filter down to the people that are working on the ground or at grassroots level and that face this on a daily basis. They, quite frankly, ignore instruction that is sent from national government in all departments. I see this within justice. I see it within South African police services and even from your political parties. The information that is filtered down is not acted on and no one is held accountable for that. And in there, the problem lies. As she says, rightfully, you know, you are labeled when you report these matters. And what does that do? That discourages women from stepping forward or reporting, because there's a fear that, yes, they're going to be labeled, but nothing is going to be done about it. So that is one of the things that has not changed over the time that I've worked at the SADC Apartment Center and what we've been exposed to, unfortunately.
I mean, we have these conversations year after year. We have, I mean, yesterday I had a conversation with Rape Crisis as they protested for a sexual offences court to be designated in Khayelitsha. Yes. Again, a conversation I had almost verbatim one year previously. There is so much more vocal activity, speaking out. There are hashtag campaigns on Twitter. There are people sort of speaking out against it. But in terms of practical action on the ground, Shahima, I mean, where's the missing link? What are we not doing that needs to be done?
What's not happening is that there's no political will to champion this work. If you look at the leadership of this country and how the leadership conducts itself and how they turn a blind eye to what's happening within their cabinets themselves, how do you expect that information, or that they're going to pay attention to it, or want to come up with a real national strategy that's going to effect real positive change in our country? That is the long and short of it.
Yeah. My guest in studio, if you've just joined us, is Shahima McLeod, speaking to us from the SADC Apartment Center. She's been spent more than a decade and a half working in the field of violence against women and children, and is soon to move on from her role at the center, reflecting quite broadly on the nature of the problem, the nature of interventions to try and reverse the horrifying figures we hear on an almost daily basis, and what has changed over the last 14 years. What hasn't changed, as you've referenced earlier, is funding. Everybody is always in need of more funding to make their services stretch further. Yes. Despite that challenging environment, you have managed to do a lot at SADC Apartment. Besides your shelter itself, I know you've extended your drug intervention programs. Yeah. That's a really crucial part of what you do, isn't it?
It is. You know, I mean, there isn't a facility within South Africa that provides safe accommodation for individuals that are abusing substances. So women, they are lost in the system when they don't have the ability to go to a facility where their kids are safe in their care, and they can get rid of the social challenge that they're sitting with. So I'm really pleased to have been a part of that process, where we've seen a 98% success rate with our program in the last year.
That's amazing. I mean, remind me how many women and children you can accommodate at a given time in that program.
Within the substance unit, it's 24 women and their children that stay with us.
Okay, and when you talk about a 98% success rate, what does that mean? Does it mean that those women have gone on to live independently and are no longer abusing substances, or is it more than that?
That they've completed their 16-week program successfully. They do have the ability to access an aftercare service and come back to us on a monthly basis for groups and counseling, further counseling. So they have the ability to move back into the community on their own terms, whether it's with their partner and change the dynamics of the relationship, or whether it's to be independent and sustain themselves and their children.
Okay, I have to ask, with your partner changing the dynamics of the relationship, is it possible? How often does that happen?
Well, look, we often see women do come back a second and a third time, fourth time sometimes as well. For us, it is about giving her the tools so that she can make informed decisions. We're certainly not there to dictate to her that she has to leave her partner. If you do that, it's going to fall on deaf ears. She's not going to listen to you if she's not quite ready, or at that point where she wants to leave the abusive relationship. What we do find is, if you upskill someone and you give them the tools so that they can be financially sustainable, some of the dynamics in the relationship do change. Yes, we've got no control over the violent behavior, but she has the ability to say that she will walk out at any time if she has the ability to do that.
We know, I mean, this is such a crucial part of the conversation, because every time we talk around this issue, I get an SMS saying, but why don't women just leave? We know it's not as simple as that.
It's absolutely not as simple as that. You know, I mean, there are emotions at stake. There are children that come into play. And we know if a woman reports a violent situation, or she tries to open a docket, that is when she's most at risk. And she needs to be sure that she's going to be held within a safe space, free of the perpetrator, and not be compromising the well-being of herself and her children if she chooses to speak out and just hope that the protection order is going to be implemented. It's not going to work for her.
Shahima, I have to ask, because this is breaking news within the last hour or so, there has been a finding in a Gauteng High Court convicting a mother and stepfather of the murder of three-year-old Poppy van der Merwe, who was essentially beaten to death over a long period of time. And as in the story I mentioned yesterday, the judge had very strong words for the greater community, that it wasn't just about those parents who were physically involved in the assault, but it was about everyone from the teachers to the social workers to the doctors who saw the signs and did nothing. I'll ask you the same thing I asked my guest yesterday. How big a problem is that, that too many people are prepared to turn away?
It is a huge problem. We see it within our community all the time. We know it's an uncomfortable topic, and people don't like to be placed in uncomfortable situations. But what they don't realize is that we have a responsibility, particularly to children that don't have a voice. If we keep quiet, we are just as guilty as the person that has done that crime, committed that crime. Certainly believe that. And I do feel that, you know, you don't have to, if you're not comfortable giving your details, report the matter anonymously or alert the appropriate authorities so that they can step in and do something about what is happening within that home setting.
I've always thought rather ask for it to be looked at and be proven wrong than risk not saying anything and find out too late that you were right in that suspicion.
Absolutely correct.
Shahima, it's a sad goodbye today, and it's really to say thank you for all that you've done at the Saki Bartman Center for these last 14 years and more, and to wish you well going forward, because for us as media practitioners, you've always been accessible, you've always been ready to answer a phone call, do an interview, even on a very, very short notice basis. Thank you for all that you've done and all the work you have done to illuminate this issue and to keep the conversations happening in public. We wish you everything of the best, and I know you would like me to finish by asking how our listeners can support what is happening at the Saki Bartman Center. Won't you just remind us how?
Yes, please. If someone wants to assist the Saki Bartman Center, please do log on to our website, which is www.sakibartmancenter.org.za, or give us a call on 021-633-5287. Any help is appreciated.
Shahima, all the best to you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.